I want to take, for our sermon, the scripture text that might not be what you would think would be a typical Easter Sunday or Resurrection Day scripture text. I want to begin here in the book of Jeremiah. Usually Easter season has very, very few references even in the lectionary that come from the Old Testament, but I want to take our text from Jeremiah chapter 31. We had this read for us, but then that final verse is verse 6. We're kind of going to start there, and I'll read that in just a moment. But we also have not sung yet today what is probably the most famous of all the Easter and Resurrection songs, that great hymn of Charles Wesley, "Christ the Lord is Risen Today." We will get to that, but there's a reason why we'll be singing that after the sermon today, because the title of the sermon is "Soar We Now." Soar We Now. And I want to begin, modern technology is the greatest thing ever. Praise be. "Soar We Now" is the title of the sermon. And by the way, I want to make it really, really clear here. We don't have it up on the screen for you to see, "Soar We Now." That is S-O-A-R, soar we now, not S-O-R-E. You see, earlier this week, when we did have some nice and warm and sunny weather, I had the opportunity to be out and about a little bit. I did some yard work and things like that, things that I haven't done since last fall. And I got out there and just doing those different things and exercising some different muscles, I had many of my body parts that were really sore. S-O-R-E. They were sore. I had aches and pains. And I can remember thinking, looking forward to Easter, and I'm thinking about Wesley's hymn, and I'm saying to myself, "Soar me now." S-O-R-E. My whole body was really sore now. Soar me now. But that's not where we're going. We're not talking about S-O-R-E. This is soar, S-O-A-R, like an eagle, flying high, ascending, rising. Rising with Jesus. We know this. It's there in the back of our minds. Theologically, we understand it. We understand Resurrection Day is about the resurrection of Jesus. But the great factuality of that resurrection and the application of that resurrection is that we are risen with Him. Like an eagle, rising, rising with Him. "Soar We Now" is the opening lyric of the fourth stanza of Charles Wesley's "Christ the Lord is Risen Today." But do you remember the reading from Jeremiah 31 and 6? Listen as I read it again. "For there shall be a day that the watchman upon Mount Ephraim shall cry, 'Arise, let us go up to Zion unto the Lord our God.'" The watchman shall cry, there will come a day, the watchman shall cry, the watchman upon Mount Ephraim shall cry, "Arise, let us go up to Zion unto the Lord our God." Father God in heaven, we thank you for this text, and we are noting here today that the resurrection of Jesus Christ absolutely, positively, completely fulfills this prophecy. That watchmen, speakers, preachers, preachers all across the world would be crying out, "Arise, let us go up to Mount Zion unto the Lord." Father, thank you for the fulfillment of it. Thank you that it's being fulfilled here today. Thank you that it's being fulfilled here and now today. And thank you that it's fulfilled all because of the work, the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The resurrection of Jesus Christ makes and marks the true fulfillment of this verse. This scripture right here is fulfilled because of the resurrection. Arise, let us go to Mount Zion. Let us go to Zion unto the Lord our God. It's fulfilled. This verse says that there will come a day when preachers will gather, preachers from all around the world, preachers from all of those in Mount Ephraim will say, "Arise." And they will say, "Ascend, let us go up to Zion, that spiritual community. And let us be there together in that great, great spiritual assembly." You know, in the book of Hebrews in chapter 12, there is a reference to this very thing where the writer of Hebrews is telling us in chapter 12 and verse 18, all the places that we are not, and all of the scenery and all of the conditions that are not a part of the Christian life. And then in verse 22, he transitions and he says this about us. He says, "You," but contrasting to that, the Old Testament saints, "but you are come." For the last 2,000 years, since the resurrection of Jesus Christ, the assembly of his church is fulfilled in these verses. You are come unto Mount Zion, the very thing that we heard Jeremiah speaking about. You are come unto Mount Zion, and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels. Furthermore, you've come to the general assembly of the church of the firstborn, who are written in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect. And of course, you've come to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. The church of Jesus Christ is here. We are all here where the writer of Hebrews is telling us we are. We are come. We are there at Mount Zion. And we are in the midst of a general assembly of the church of the firstborn. What great news this is because of the resurrection. This is where we are. We are here in terms of what is described for us in the book of Hebrews, which means that we are also there. Mount Zion, the city of the living God, in the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly of the whole church, who are written in God, who are written in heaven. And we've come to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men who are made perfect. Our theme today is that, of course, as glorious and as true as it is that there was in history the physical resurrection, singularly of the body of Jesus Christ, and that that is an independent factoid that is seemingly isolated from any impact on us, it is also true that his resurrection was never meant to be independent or isolated or having no bearing and no impact on us. Indeed, of course, ours is dependent on his. And in his resurrection, we have our resurrection. And so that's why Wesley, and all through the ages, we've been able to say, soar we now where Christ has led. Without him, without Jesus Christ, there is no, as it says in Jeremiah 31:6, arise, let us go up to Zion unto the Lord our God. Without him, without his resurrection, there is no fulfillment of Jeremiah 31:6, arise, let us go up to Zion unto the Lord our God. Furthermore, did you notice in our gospel lesson that the resurrection story was not just, I mean, it's hard to even say these words when I say not just about him. I mean, the factuality of the resurrection was not just about him. There are other elements in the story. It is not just factoids about him, not just that essential propositional truth. You know, we say the creeds that he rose from the dead. We believe in the resurrection. It's not just those propositional truths, though it is that. But it was and it is so much more. I want to remind you of who is in view, even as we read the resurrection story. Of course, there are the Marys that are there coming and bringing the spices. But even beyond the Marys, if we look at verse 7, it says this, go ye quickly, tell his disciples. The story of the resurrection is, of course, about that singular event of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. But the story, the narrative is filled out involving all sorts of others. Here we see the disciples in verse 7. And then in verse 8, and they departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy, and they did run to bring his disciples the word. It was about them. Verse 9, and they went to tell his disciples. And then we get to verse 11, Jesus says, don't be afraid, go and tell my brethren. So it's not just about Jesus alone. It's about the disciples. It's about the brethren. You know, that psalm that we had a difficult time singing a couple of minutes ago came from Psalm 22. And Psalm 22, the first three quarters of the psalm or so are all about the cross and the suffering of Jesus Christ on the cross. But the end of the psalm is all about, go tell my brethren that I have accomplished these things. To all my brothers, I'll declare as we sang. And by the way, in verse 10 there of our gospel lesson, when he talks about tell my brethren, he says to them, I want you to meet me in Galilee. Do we remember that Galilee was known as Galilee of the Gentiles? That's a broader community of people who were finding out and benefiting from the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It was Galilee of the Gentiles. And so this was good news. This was great news for the whole wide world. And so again, of course, soar we now where Christ has led. Perhaps you remember Jeremiah. Again, 31 and verse 6. For there shall be a day that the watchman upon Mount Ephraim. Ephraim was a nickname for northern Israel, for the 10 tribes, for those who were half on the inside, half on the outside, otherwise known as, you know, the lost tribes. This prophecy in Jeremiah is saying that there will come a day when there will be watchmen or preachers who are on Mount Ephraim, meaning representing those lost tribes, and telling them that they too will arise and come up to Zion. So Ephraim is this nickname for the northern Israel, those 10 tribes. And so the good news went beyond Judah. Just like Jesus' ministry went beyond just the Jews. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. So Jeremiah has given us this picture here that this resurrection of Jesus Christ was not just for Judah, not just for the Jews, but it was for Mount Ephraim. It was for the Gentiles, Galilee of the Gentiles. It was for the whole world. So are we now. We rise because he rose. This teaching that somehow, on some level, we rose with him or rose together with him is all over the New Testament. For those following along with your Bible, you can find it in Romans 6 and verse 5. You can find it in Ephesians 2 and verse 6. You can find it right here in our New Testament lesson of Colossians 3 and 1. And by the way, if we were to simply just back up from that lesson for just a bit into Colossians in chapter 2, we will read as an introduction to that idea of our being raised with him. Colossians chapter 2, we're going to pick it up here in verse 12. Remember these words, buried with him in baptism, in which also you are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God who has raised him from the dead. We're participating. We participated in his death. We are participating in his resurrection. You are risen with him. And then when we come to that New Testament lesson from Colossians in chapter 3, a better preposition to start is not if you, but since you, therefore, or then, be risen with Christ. Seek those things which are above, where Christ sits on the right hand of God. Since this has occurred, since you are risen, that word risen in the Greek is a very peculiar word. It's a compound word. It's a compound word, and the word is soon egero. And that first part of it is a preposition. And when we say soon, we don't mean soon like it's going to happen in, 5 minutes. The word soon means together. It means with. So we have the word risen there, and in the Greek, it really is co-risen. Risen with. Risen together. This is right out of the Greek New Testament here. That preposition means with or together. Think about our word a symphony. It's the same prefix. Symphony. Symphony is sound. There is a group of people who come together. They come in context with each other, and they produce a beautiful music. Think of the word sympathy. Right? To have sympathy for someone. You have emotion for them. You have empathy for them. Sympathy is that coming together of feeling. Sympathy. Symphony. Here we have the idea that we are coming together with Christ. We are raised together with Christ. Here it is, together written. And as I've said, there are some who characterize this, and even in some of the ways they commentate, if not translate that verse, it is co-risen. We've been raised with him. In other places in the Bible, we see this. In the book of 1 Corinthians, where it talks about our work before God, it talks about us being co-laborers. We are working with God. We are working together with him. It's the same idea. Here, it is we are co-risen with Christ. course, this touches on our studied concentration of union with him. We've talked about being buried with him, being dead with him, and now we're talking about being raised together with him. In baptism, we die with him. If we look at this passage here in Colossians 3, which we had read for us here, it says in verse 3, "For you are dead, and your life is hidden with Christ in God." In baptism, we died with him. In resurrection, we rose with him. It's exactly what's being said here. And so what does this mean for us? It means that we do not have to respond to life. We don't have to respond to the various challenges of life. We don't have to respond to the various temptations of life the way our fallen nature always has responded. When this happens, you fly off the handle and get angry. When that happens, you become very depressed or in despair. When another thing happens, you become just irresponsibly giddy. We died with Christ, and we have been raised with Christ. We are dead. We have his life. We do not need to respond to these things the way we always have responded. We are not limited to, we are not limited by our old resources. We are dead. If you're given to despair, if you're given to anxiety, if you're given to too much excitability, if you're given to anger, those are the resources that you have in the flesh, but you're not limited by those resources anymore. Verse 4 of this passage says, Christ is our life. The words who is supplied there. Christ, who is our life. Sounds very much like what we've been studying. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Christ is our life. This means that the same power that raised Jesus from the dead is alive and well in you and with you. Your outcomes are, your responses can be as his. I know I've talked about this before, but think about it. Things that are fundamentally at odds with who he is are now fundamentally at odds with who you are. Think about it in terms of your challenges, in terms of your failings, in terms of your temptations. Things that are fundamentally at odds with who he is are now fundamentally at odds with who you are because he lives in you. And in an even more positive way, things that are fundamentally in line with what he did and who he is are now fundamentally in line with who you are and what you are to do. The way that we have responded in the past doesn't have to be the way we respond in the future. We've been raised with him. We're dead, and we're raised to newness of life, and it's his life. And we're not limited by our resources. We're not limited to the same old muscle memory and habits. Oh, that's just the way I am. That's the way I've always responded. That's the way I've always done things. This resurrection of Jesus Christ means great, great hope for us. And so whatever else we do on this Easter, I want us to take a moment this Easter and consider some habits. Maybe they're thoughts, maybe they're words, maybe they are deeds. Consider some of those things that you have not had victory over. You know, we all have those areas in our life where someone else or some other situation has the ability, seemingly, to push our buttons, right? And we sin. Because of that muscle memory, because of that relying on our own old resources of who we are. So think about a habit, a thought, a word, or a deed that you have not had victory over. Think about just one of them. Maybe there's a couple of them where you have said, and maybe you only said it in your heart, I'll never have victory over this. I've been a Christian 20 years and I just can't get past that. I've been a Christian 40 years and I just can't get past that. I still do that. I still fall into that sin. The sin that so easily besets us, as the Bible would say. And maybe you've only said it in your heart. Maybe you've not confessed it to anybody else. But you said, I'll never have victory over this. The fact of the matter is, you are correct. You won't have victory over that. The muscle memory of who you are, the fallenness of your sinful flesh, your constitutional idolatry, you won't have victory over that. But because you are dead and you've been raised with Christ, He will have victory over that. He can, He does have victory over that. His resurrected life is your hope. It's your freedom. It's your power. It's your victory. I don't care if those same temptations and being having your button pushed in those areas has resulted in you responding in the same sinful way for 60 years, 70, put any number on it you want. Today, reckon yourself dead and reckon yourself raised from the dead with Jesus Christ living within you. His resurrection is your hope for tomorrow. All right, you've messed up. You've even been a Christian for 50 years and you've messed up. His resurrection is your hope, your freedom, your power, your victory. Of course, Easter and the resurrection is all about Jesus. He's the one who rose. We celebrate His resurrection. He bodily rose from the dead. But it's also about this, remember? Soar we now where Christ has led. And so, yes, there is a fuller deliverance where frailty and folly of our mortal bodies will be felt no more. When we no longer suffer in this, our sinful flesh. But union with Christ means victory assured, both now and for eternity. And Easter is a taste of that victory. Union with Christ means purity, and it means unity. Perhaps you remember Jeremiah 31, the very first verse of that Old Testament prophecy said this, At that same time, saith the Lord, I will be the God of all the families of Israel, and they shall be my people. The historic covenant prophecy was always, I will be their God, and they shall be my people. All the families. So this has to do with our recognition of brothers and sisters in the faith. And of course, it has application to those who are, you know, of different races, different ethnic groups, different countries, and all those people out there. But it also has to do with how we relate to one another, and do we truly have unity one with another? And are we really treating others the way Christ would treat them, because Christ is in me? And are we treating them the way that we would treat Jesus Christ, because Jesus Christ lives in them? And so how are you treating the other members of the body of Christ? At that same time, Jeremiah says, I will be the God of all the families of Israel, and they shall be my people. All the families. all the tribes, even the ones who sit in the pew next to you, even the ones who's are next door to you, even the ones next door to you who perhaps go to a different church, or brothers and sisters in Christ. Because God said, I will be their God and they will be my people. Well, again, I will remind you that that time has come. Verse 6. There shall be a day. That day's today. That day was Easter 2,000 years ago. There has come a day that the watchmen, the preachers, upon Mount Ephraim, all over the world, shall cry, Arise! Let us go up to Zion, unto the Lord our God. Resurrection Day was that day. He is gathering all above. I want to close with this thought. Maybe you came here today and you were like me earlier in the week. You're sore, S-O-R-E. Maybe not sore in the same way that I was physically sore from doing some yard work and things like that, but you're sore and you're wounded. You have a soreness in your spirit. Maybe you came here sore. God would have us to leave here soaring, S-O-A-R-I-N-G. Resurrection Day was that day. He's gathering all above. The call and the cry to us is, arise with him and arise with the brethren. Soar we now where Christ has led. Let us pray. Father God in heaven, we thank you and we praise you, Lord God, for the passage in Colossians, which tells us that we are co-risen with Christ and that we are dead and that Christ is our life. We thank you for the glorious gospel whereby we read that account of Jesus bodily being raised from the dead. And how that was celebratory. And how news of that went out even to Galilee of the Gentiles. It went out to the brethren. It went out to the disciples. And Father, we thank you, Lord, for the fulfillment of that prophecy in Jeremiah. Lord, where you proclaimed a day where all the families of the earth would be united in you. And Father, you proclaim the day where even those who are on Mount Ephraim, Lord, those scattered tribes, people all over the world, they would be called upon to arise. We can't arise of our own strength. We can't go up to Zion. But Lord, because of the resurrection, because of you, we have and we can. We praise you, Lord, and we thank you as we prepare to sing this great, glorious resurrection hymn. Christ the Lord is risen today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.